Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:25 Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 28th. Well, I guess the fireworks today were in the government bond markets. The long bond, 30-year bond in the US, was up over a full point. Well, that's a pretty impressive reassertion of the short-term uptrend. It had a pretty emphatic breakout about 2 weeks ago, gave up some of that advance, came back to test the upper side of the range, and, well, this is an impressive advance in here. Well, the 10-year was up about half a point, but that sees the 10-year yield starting to break down here from this range. Well, that kind of action wasn't confined to the U.S., U.S. Treasuries were firm, but well, U.K. gilts were up by almost a full point. The German 10-year, the Bund, was up by about two-thirds of a point. Well, in terms of the yield, well, the Bund has been rallying for quite some time, and it's coming down now to relatively close proximity to the yield lows that we saw last year. Well, those were all-time lows for the Bund. Well, obviously, there's a lot more economic uncertainty with regard to Europe and just what's going to happen there, but any kind of stimulus is likely to create additional demand for Bunds. It's certainly the go-to bond market in the Eurozone, and that certainly helped to compress yields. Well, gilts haven't compressed to nearly the same extent. Well, they share a much more common characteristic with U.S. Treasuries in that the gilt yield is back to the lower side of a developing range. But considering that you're seeing a number of bond futures breaking out, this was a firm day right across the boards, not just the gilt and the Bund, but the Swiss 10-year, the Canadian 10-year, the Australian 10-year. They were all pretty firm in terms of the futures markets here today. Well, what's the reason for that? Well, when you think about it, the economic outlook is when you see that the yield curve is flattening and that IPATH ETN was breaking out today. Well, what that would generally tend to say is that, well, people are betting that we're going to get a flattening yield curve, that the economic outlook isn't as rosy as one might have initially anticipated, but that's probably not generally the way to look at it, is that people were starting to price in the possibility that interest rates might start to rise in response to the tapering that was going on. But, well, that's not going to happen for at least a year. There's an awful lot of money sitting on the sidelines because it was waiting for higher yields. Well, some of that money has to be committed. That's initiated a bit of a short covering in here, and that's been pushed into the longer side of the curve. You haven't had nearly the same move on the short end of the curve. Everyone is well, that's not being used as a point of leverage here. Rather than the short curve end of the curve rising, what we're starting to see is the long end of the curve compressing, which is contributing to this flattening of the yield curve. Well, this was also a reasonably positive day for the US dollar. The pound today was weaker by almost a full cent. Well, that $1.70 area for the pound has been an area of resistance for much of the last 5 years. It's tested it on at least two previous occasions. Well, it's pulling back from that level at present and coming back to test the region of the progression of higher reaction lows. Well, the UK economy is quite a bit further along in terms of its recovery than the Eurozone in particular. But, well, you have the Bank of England beginning to talk about raising interest rates. So, as the pound comes back to test the progression of higher reaction lows, well, there's quite a good likelihood that we're going to see it find support, and probably the most likely outcome is probably going to be some for additional ranging. Well, everyone's looking at June 5th and what the euro is going, or the ECB is going to do, and the euro has been falling in anticipation of that. It's fallen by approximately 3 to 4 cents in here over the last couple of weeks. Well, by the time we get around to the 5th of June, probably the rate cut will have already been priced in. This would appear to be a situation where people are selling the rumor, perhaps buying the news. Well, when we look at just where the dollar is, well, the U.S. doesn't appear to need the weakest currency in the world relative to some of its developed market peers. But when you look at how emerging market currencies or commodity currencies have performed, then, well, they were all generally weaker in here. There was a rout in the emerging market currencies in the latter half of last year, the first month of this year. Well, much of that has been unwound, and a number of those currencies are back to the region of their 200-day moving average. Well, I posted the ruble chart yesterday in comment of the day. Well, you can look at it's a similar situation for a number of the commodity currencies. The Brazilian real has come back to the 220 area. Well, the Brazilians were defending the 2.4 reals to the dollar area at the end of last year, but they're probably not overly anxious to get the currency very much stronger than about 2.2. Well, it suggests that we're going to be in a more rangy environment, that the there is potential here for some additional weakness in some of the commodity currencies, but that, well, central banks are going to want to defend those currencies if we start to see any kind of weakness turning into a momentum move. Well, when you think about commodities, well, gold yesterday broke downwards and had that really quite emphatic breakdown from that short-term triangular pattern, and it extended its decline in here today. It was down about $6. Well, it's going to have to find support above 1200 or in the region of $1200 if this ranging environment is going to continue to be considered a base formation. Well, silver, it came back to test the $1,900 area, and it's been ranging above that area for a number of months. Well, palladium was up by $5. That was off its high. The high was around 844. It finished out the day closer to 835, but that was still up $5 on the day. Well, when you look at palladium relative to the other precious metal markets, it's got by far the most consistent pattern. But even so, these upward breaks haven't generally been sustained within the course of this advance. So there is potential for some additional weakness in here. But the benefit of the doubt can continue to be given to potential for additional higher to lateral ranging, provided the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact. Well, the majority of industrial metals have been reasonably quiet over the last week, and today wasn't very different. The copper was reasonably unchanged in here. Well, you've had a rout in the coffee market over the last couple of weeks, and it extended its decline in here today. Cocoa has been reasonably firm, and cotton has been pulling back. Well, rough rice also looks like it is going to trade a little bit lower in here. Well, it was soft commodities were really the relative strength leaders for the CCI, or the old CRB index, over the last year. Well, the loss of consistency in some of those really strong movers like coffee has contributed to the CCI really pausing in here. Well, oil, which is continues to be range bound, it's really up 1 week and down the next, was down about $1 in here today. Well, when usually we start with stock markets, but I'll finish with stock markets today. Well, the S&P hit a new high yesterday and was pretty much unchanged in here today. Well, the Nasdaq has been resurgent over the last 10 days and was a little bit weaker in here today as it comes back into the region of the high. It was a reasonably quiet day in the majority of Europe. The FTSE was up 6, which is less than a tenth of a percent, so really quite a quiet day. In Asia, well, India continues to hold on to its gain post the election and really continues to digest that impressive advance. The Hang Seng was stronger by about 0.6%, and the Australian index was up just less than a third of a percent. Well, the Taiwan market is really worthy of mention. The banking sector rallied impressively in here today, and the wider market is back to test the 2008 and 2011 highs in local currency terms. Well, the Taiwan dollar hasn't been particularly firm of late. So in US dollar terms, it's back at the 2008 peak, but not the 2011 peak. But nonetheless, it looks like, looks like a market that has got further to go on the upside. And so does Korea. Well, Korea had that type 2 top formation nearly 3 years ago. It spent much of the last 3 years ranging, and it's trading now right at the upper side of that range. Well, you'd need to have some significant trend deterioration to really question potential for that to break to the upside. It would suggest that there are definitely markets within Asia that have potential for catch up in here. What we've certainly seen this year so far has been that, well, the markets that did the very best in 2013 haven't done much of anything so far this year. And the S&P pushing to a new all-time high takes it to a performance of 3.3% year to date. So that really is an indication that it really hasn't done much. The Italian index, on the other hand, is up 13% year to date. That Eurostox index, which is the index of about 300 shares that are listed in the Eurozone, well, it completed a 3-year base at the beginning of the year and continues to extend that that breakout. Well, the Eurostox index is right at the upper side of about a 6-week range, and it does look like it is further to go. Well, that continues to suggest that the valuation discount evident in much of the Eurozone continues to be, that discount is going to be unwound over the course of the rest of the year. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.